temple. You are the voice. We are your song. You are our God. We are your people. You are the light. We stand in awe. We stand in awe of you. Yes. We stand in awe of you. Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God. Send your Spirit, God. Not by darkness, into your love, into your light. Grace upon grace, beauty for ashes. You come to us, we come alive. We stand in awe of you. Spirit God, send your Spirit God.
A powerful, powerful song. Just feel such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. I want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church this morning. We had a tremendous Bible lesson this morning, Brother Mackey. Deep Roots. I would encourage you to go online and listen to that if you weren't in here. So you could be seated this morning. And it is so great to have Brother and Sister Mackey with us. And it's been a great, great weekend. We were able last night to have their family, most of his family in the Wisconsin area, over for dinner, and just had a great time. Haven't seen a couple of his brothers for decades, I think it's been. But so when you line up all of the Mackey siblings, it's really hard to tell. They're so different. I was laughing, teasing them. I said, "Man, I said you could all tell you're a Mackey," and nothing wrong with that. So, but just so great to be here in the house of the Lord today. I want to welcome you. If you're a guest of ours, we have a connection card that you can get in the vestibule, and it looks just similar to. Actually, it's just like this card here. And I would like for you to fill that out. I think they have a little bit of a gift for you as well, but would like to get connected with you. And if you're a member, and or if you are a guest and you would like to give in the offering, we have an offering box out by the kiosk out there. It's kind of a glass, plexiglass clear box. Or you can mail it in. You could go to our website. And we have a new church app that we've been encouraging our church members to put on their cellular device, whatever, whether you have a Apple or an Android, you are. If you have any questions on that, Brother Phil Demas, if Brother Phil Demas could just stand, sometimes people are wondering, we say, "See, brother, that's Brother Phil Demas," and he is oversees our administrative end of our here at Calvary, and he does a tremendous job, and he's got this all set up to make it easy for us. And with that app, when you put that on your phone, there's a lot of different things that you'll be able to access at later dates. We changed our database from the church. We changed over to a different company, and it's got a lot of different things that we can access. So I encourage you to do that this morning or do that today. Also on the 17th, which is Wednesday, we have Brother David Cadd, who's a missionary to Madagascar and the Congo. He will be here with his wife, so we are excited about that. And so come prepared for that on Wednesday evening. And the next Saturday, November 20th, while most of the men or a lot of men will be out deer hunting, the ladies have a shopping day planned. Now, I just would like to say a little bit about this, if I could. Ladies, enjoy your day. Because that little deer that your husband shoots out in the woods could be costing you thousands of dollars. I say that because I would go deer hunting every year, and every year I went out and I bought more stuff, and finally one day my wife asked, "How many bullets does it take?" Right. It's not the bullets, honey. But anyway, so ladies, enjoy your shopping day. If your husbands are out hunting, don't feel guilty if you use that credit card. I'm just kidding here. That's between you. Then we have Thanksgiving dinner. And we will have a Thanksgiving dinner here at Calvary Gospel Church on Thanksgiving at 1 to 3. And all of you are invited to attend. And if you'd like to be a part, there's different, many different ways that you can be involved in this. Just please contact Brother Pastor Jerry. And Pastor Jerry, if he would stand, so some of you may not. So that's Brother Pastor Jerry. So we want to invite you. There's so many ways you can get involved in this. So you don't have to actually be here to be involved in it. So, and with that, also we have, yesterday we had a craft fair here at Calvary Gospel Church. And we had a number of vendors, and Sister Britt Topp and Sister Julie Buchholz put that together for all of the ladies and a lot of the men. I actually, Brother Ty made some bread. My wife brought home a loaf of bread and very, very good flavor. I'm impressed. You did a good job, bro. Most guys like to barbecue, and very few like to bake, and good job. So thank you so very much for all of those that attended in that. And then also we have, we've had this past week a Veterans Day, and I just want to thank all of the veterans of Calvary Gospel Church for their service. We have Brother Ron Wittenbach, who is here this morning. And he is in, I don't want to embarrass him, but if Brother Ron Wittenbach would stand, because he is in full uniform. Now, he has been retired from the military for, I'm going to guess, close to 40-plus years that I know of, because we've been here in Madison that long, and he was retired from the military. And to be able to fit in the same uniform 40 years later is, that deserves a hand clap in itself. So thank you so very much to our veterans for your service. And then also, today is November 14th. And 81 years ago in East Texas, our bishop, John W. Grant, came into this world. And today is his birthday. I'm down over here in this corner, and we have a little gift for our bishop, and if he would like to take and say a few words here this morning.
All right, you may be seated. I don't know how to talk with a mask on. Now we got it. I tell everyone this is my 82nd birthday. Now, the reason why I say 82nd, the day I was born was my birthday. And when I was 1 year old, that was my second birthday. So I'm celebrating my 82nd, or maybe I should say the 82nd anniversary of my 81st birthday. Now, everybody get that? You know, I am just so very thrilled to have the family that I have. I've got two boys that I love dearly. One of them works here at the church in the capacity of maintenance. And the other one is the senior pastor, Pastor Roy Grant. He may... Yes. And then... my wife. Last week, we were married 62 years ago. She is the luckiest person. Oh, my. You probably heard me say this. Yeah. They said, Pastor, what's the secret of being married 60 years? And I said, well, number one, I rule the roost. And she rules the rooster. Hey, it's good to be with you. I love all of you. And Pastor, I love you dearly. God bless you.
Oh, boy. All right, let's all stand. We're just going to open this in prayer this morning. And then we're going to go into a worship set. And Brother Mackey is going to be speaking to us. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, our friends and family. I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us this day. Lord, every day is a new day. Every day is a different day. And Lord, whatever needs we came here, whatever struggles we have, whatever frustrations that we may be experiencing, Lord, you have an answer for us today. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch each and every person here as we go into worship, as we enter worship. Lord, allow us to open up our hearts and open up our minds for what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name.
Stay. the valley will never take my song. Find me in the desert, holding on to you for life. The desert will never take my song. Oh, the desert will never take my song. And I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. I will praise you, 'cause something in me has to. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. Still shouting of everything you've done. High up on the mountain, I was made to testify. Forever, you will have my song. Oh, forever, you will have my.
Darkness, my God, yeah. it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Jesus. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Such a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. It is so great, again, to have Brother and Sister Mackey with us here. And Brother Mackey, I think, came here first time he preached was sometime in the early 70s, 1975. Some of you weren't even here on this planet in 1975. But when he's completed his preaching today, he'll be preaching at our VOSIS and African International. He will have preached here 104 times. Now you can say, well, do you not know of another evangelist? You have to have someone back that many times. I've had so many people. Brother Mackey said, you know, I'm looking forward to Brother Mackey coming because I love to hear him preach. And we love to hear him preach. That's why he has been here so many times. And he's been not just an evangelist, but he's part of our family. If you preach that many times here, you're part of the family. He's going to be on our payroll, so we'll just... It is so great to have him with his new bride. And we got to meet Sister Carol yesterday and spend some time with them. And it's just such an honor to have him here and to preach to us. And he's going to be coming and he's going to preach to us again. And it is so great to have you here, Brother Jonathan Mackey. God bless you, brother.
And praise the Lord again, everybody. Nice to be back in Madison, Wisconsin. And good to see all of you in God's house. I have so valued my friendship with Bishop and Sister John Grant and now Pastor Roy Grant. I read a little article about a man who went to Israel as a tourist, but he really wanted to take a picture of a shepherd and his sheep. And so he was driving around outside of the city of Jerusalem, and finally he sees a flock of sheep and a man behind him. And, you know, and the man was behind the sheep with his rod just driving them and driving them. So he got the man's attention, and he was snapping some photos. And he asked the man, he said, if you're a shepherd, he said, I thought shepherds were supposed to lead the sheep. He said, I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher. I'm taking them to market today. So, but it's nice to have a pastor with a shepherd spirit, not a butcher spirit. It really is. And Brother Grant mentioned Sister Mackie. I've now been married 2 weeks and 2 days. My wife is from Alabama. She's an Alabama football fan, actually. Go Tide. Okay. But she is one of the most sweetest women I've ever met in my life. You stick a fork in her and sweetness just squirts right out. So this is all new to her, being a preacher's wife and evangelist. But I'm very grateful for my wife, Carol Ann Mackey. And if you ever want to pray for us, we sure would appreciate it. All right? So let's open up our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The literal Hebrew for verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages. We're going to talk about this rock a little bit. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Jesus, for your glory and honor, we ask for your help to minister to this congregation. You know everyone's needs, spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. God, let the word of God, let the hearing of the word increase faith today. For God, for your glory and for your honor, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, the land of Israel and Palestine is a very rocky, mountainous land. I remember looking at pictures of it in Bible dictionaries and encyclopedias when I was a young man. But it wasn't until I was privileged to go to Israel that it was much more rocky and mountainous than I could have ever imagined. And when you read the Old Testament, God's natural people, the Jew, had constant battles, enemies, wars. And there were many times that the Jews found protection in the natural rock formations and the mountains that were in Israel. But there were many other times in the midst of the battle, they called on the Lord God Jehovah. And God was their protection. And God was their shelter. And God was their hiding place. So it's not too long till they begin to call the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob their rock. They said, God is my rock. Now, the God we are worshiping today is the God that that created the heaven and the earth. And he must like rocks because he just put so many of them here. And as a result, we have little expressions such as, he's as steady as a rock. In other words, when things fall apart, he doesn't fall apart. He's as steady as a rock. Prudential Insurance on their logo for many years had an outline of the Rock of Gibraltar. And this piece of rock that was 1,396 feet high, 3 miles long, 3/4 of a mile wide, that's been standing in that Aegean Sea since time began. Waves have come against it. Winds have come against it. And it's not crumbling. It's still standing. So that's what Prudential's slogan was. Get a piece of the rock. Get insurance with Prudential. Now, I do not represent Prudential Insurance today. But I do represent the one who created the Rock of Gibraltar. And I want all of you to know the only true shelter, the only true security, the only true refuge, the only true hiding place you have in 2021 in this present world is in the Lord God Jehovah. He wants to be your rock. So God revealed himself to individuals in the Word of God in such a way that when it was all over, they said, God is my rock. Now, when God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, he told Moses to go smite the rock, and a water came gushing out of that rock. And I don't know what you think of when you think of this. Maybe you think of the water fountain out here, and you step on the pedal, and a little sprig of water comes out. But there was 3 to 5 million Jews. Can you see 3 to 5 million Jews lined up at the water fountain? The last 2 million would die of thirst before they got there. But one scientist estimated there would happen when he hit that rock, the water gushed out of that rock. There had to be a river 50 feet wide and 15 feet deep to meet the needs of that many people. And when Moses smote that rock, a river of water came out of there, and all the needs of Israel were supplied. And then the miracle, when the children of Israel moved, the rock moved, and it was a constant source of supply unto them. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verse 1. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, is Moses' song of thanksgiving after all that happened. He said, "Oh, give ear, all ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." So he's giving glory and praise to God. So it says in verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth. Do you know how much corruption and lies there are today? He's a God of truth. The Bible says God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. That's why this book you're holding is so valuable. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. But then it says in verse 30 of Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Verse 31, for their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. So Moses is saying, even the enemies of God's people look at God's people and they recognize their rock, which has a small r, and our rock, which has a capital R, referring to deity and to God, even our enemies judge, amen, that their rock is not like our rock. And all of you know individuals, they will not come to Calvary Gospel Church. But when there's a problem, when there's a divorce, when there's a sickness, when there's a death, when there's a cancer, hey, would you please have your church pray for this circumstance? Do you know why? Because they know their rock is not like our rock. And I'm glad my rock is found in God and that my rock, amen, has a capital R. Now, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse 1, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, to have Saul after you in the Old Testament is like having the FBI, the CIA, Interpol, and MI5 and MI6 after you in 2021. Folks, you do not have a chance. In fact, there is another scripture in the Bible where it says Saul was so frustrated because he could not find David. But David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou saveth me from violence. This is what God wants to be to everyone in this house. Now let's look at Psalm 40. I would not have time to read all the scriptures where David acknowledged God as his rock. David used a little rock to kill a great big giant, actually. All right? But in Isaiah chapter 40, all right, in verse 1, it says this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He said I was in a place where I was going to continue to sink deeper and deeper and deeper, and there was no place. Amen. I don't know where it was going to end, but he said, God brought me out of the pit, and God brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Then in Psalm 61 and verse 1, this is David's prayer after his rebellious son Absalom. His hair was caught in a tree. He was shot full of arrows. Now this is the prayer of David after his son was killed. Psalm 61 and verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, because I don't know how to get there by myself. For thou hast been a shelter for me, all right, and a strong tower from the enemy. Because can you imagine how the enemy attacked David? Huh, you're a man after God's own heart. You're the king of Israel, and even your own children don't live for God. Can you imagine, you know, maybe the stress and the distress, amen, and the trouble, you know, that David felt over this? That's why he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. You've been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy, because the enemy is the condemner of the brethren, everybody. He's going to constantly come against you. And now we turn to the book of Isaiah, the original text that I read in Isaiah chapter 26, all right, and verse 3, that will keep him in perfect peace, not a Valium peace, not a yoga peace, you know, not a marijuana peace, but a perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth. Please note, trust. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord. Now, the word trust means to lean upon, depend upon, and put your confidence in the Lord. You can lean upon, depend upon, and put your confidence in the Lord forever. Do you know why? Because he is the rock of all ages. Now, there's a difference between faith and trust. Faith is kind of what we have when we're in church on Sunday morning. And I mean, the keyboard's playing, the drums are beating. Boy, the bass is playing. Woo! I've got faith, boy. We're in the presence of God, and God is right here. Faith. But see, when all of you get up and go to work tomorrow, the drum player's not going to be with you. The bass player's not going to be with you. I'm not going to be with you. Brother Grant's not going to be with you. But God is going to be with you. That's why you can lean upon, depend upon, and put your confidence in the Lord forever. Forever. Maybe you heard the story of many years ago, a man stretched a high wire across Niagara Falls. And, you know, there's always tourists at Niagara Falls. And the man says, how many here believe I can walk across Niagara Falls? I mean, when it says a high wire, it actually is quite a thick, you know, piece of metal that goes across. So some people say, well, if you want to walk across, go ahead, you know. So he takes a balancing rod beam and he walks across Niagara Falls. They say, boy, this guy is good. Then he takes a little camp stove and goes out and sits on the high wire and fries himself an egg. This guy really is good. You know. He said, how many believe I can take this little bicycle across the wire? Now he was getting the confidence. Yeah, we can. And he took this bike across Niagara Falls. Boy, they were believing him now. Then he comes out with a wheelbarrow. How many here believe I can push this wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls? They said, yeah, we do. And he said, who will get in the wheelbarrow? They believed him, but they just didn't trust him. About the time I get in the wheelbarrow, there'll be a gust of wind and we'll both go over. But I want you to know, everybody, you can get into God's wheelbarrow. Amen. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's your hiding place. He is your shelter and he is your rock. And what God was to Moses and what God was to David and what God was to Isaiah, he wants to be to you. God wants to be more than something you read about from a book called the Bible or hear preached about from a pulpit. God wants to be something you experience. Let's clap our hands for the rock, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let's turn to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So it says, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. A man shall be as a covert from the tempest. A man shall be as rivers of water in a dry place. A man shall be as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, the God of the Old Testament was so invisible, so abstract. Every other nation was idolatrous. But here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and God is Spirit. And so every other nation had idols, but now the God of Israel was totally invisible. But now in the New Testament, the high priest walked into the temple and unrolled the scrolls to preach, but no one was in the temple. Where is everybody? They're in the wilderness wandering after a man by the name of Jesus. Do you know why? Because they said no man has ever spoken like this man speaks. When he speaks, it's like water to a thirsty spirit, and it's like bread to a hungry soul. Amen. Because before Jesus came, there was no hiding place from the winds of sickness and disease. Before Jesus came, the leper would just walk down the street, ring the bell, unclean, unclean. And the people would walk away from the leper. But this man by the name of Jesus was moved with compassion. And he touched the leper. And the leper was made clean. Amen. Before Jesus came, there was no covert from the tempest of judgment. Because here's the woman caught in the act of adultery. And then here's all these men with rocks in their hand to stone the woman. Why the man wasn't there isn't fair, all right? So, but here comes Jesus. And Jesus said, you that have no sin, you cast the first stone, all right? And he kneeled down and he began to write in the sand. And by the time he finished writing, all of them had dropped their rocks and walked away. But then Jesus looked at the woman and said, neither do I condemn thee, but don't commit adultery anymore. Jesus went to the island of the Gadarenes, and there was a man there who ran naked, filled with devils, who hid in the cave of rocks and cut himself with rocks. But he came from the rocks to the rock, Christ Jesus. And the townspeople were amazed when they came out and found this man sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind, fully clothed. Because when you're in your right mind, you're going to be fully clothed. All right? There's a lot of people out of their mind in this world. All right? Who is this man, Jesus? He's the Lord God, Jehovah of the Old Testament, made visible in the New Testament. Listen, when you get to heaven, you're not going to see the Father on one throne and the Son on the other throne and the Holy Spirit on the other throne. There's only one God. There's only one sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything God was in the Old Testament, Jesus is in the New Testament, because Jesus is God. Yeah. Jesus met the woman at the well. He said, "You, if you ever knew who it was who asked of thee, give me to drink, you had asked of him, and he would have given you living water. You can drink of this natural water, you will thirst again. You will thirst again." Even the psalmist said, out here in this world, there's a dry and thirsty land, and there's no water. No water for the soul. Sports stars, movie stars, rock stars, with all their fame, all their endorsements, all their money, it's not enough. They're still alcoholics. They still need to take drugs. They still need to rape a woman every now and again. Do you know why? Because money won't satisfy you. Sex won't satisfy you. The new home will not satisfy you. The fancy car will not satisfy you. And after a while, it's a dry and thirsty land. Sports will not satisfy you. Everything gets dull. Cigarettes lose their flavor. The bar gets so old. This one rock star hung himself in London. You know, hung himself. Why? I mean, he had everything going for him. But you know what? I mean, but what can satisfy me? I've tried it. I've tasted it. I've done it. But I'm still empty. Do you know what? Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And I want you to know, if you're thirsty today, Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, come unto me, and I will give him living water. Because water still comes from the rock. And you're in the right church today. Hallelujah. Because we believe in the precious baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you're looking for something to satisfy you, you are in the right place. Right place. Now, David said, I was in a horrible pit and a miry clay. That is why the devil is a liar. He comes to kill. He comes to steal. And he comes to destroy. You know, and the devil says, come on, live in sin, live in disobedience, you'll be satisfied. And you just start to live in it and walk in it, but you don't realize it, but pretty soon you're sinking. You're ankle deep. It's a horrible pit and a miry clay. And then you're drinking more than you ever thought you would drink. You're doing things you never thought you would do. You're going places you never thought you would go, because now you're knee deep and thigh deep and waist deep. And now you're in a horrible pit and in a miry clay. Amen. And there's no one that can help you. The counseling won't do it. No, I mean, where could I go seeking a refuge for my soul? But remember the day you walked into the doors of an apostolic church and a man began to preach the word of God to you, and something was drawing on your heart, and you stepped out of that pew and came to this altar. Oh, Lord. And remember when he reached way down for you. And I don't care what the habits are, what the sin is, how long you've lived that way. God has power to pull you out of that horrible pit and miry clay and set your feet upon a rock, and he establishes your goings. Some of it, boy, I mean, where could I go seeking a refuge for my soul? He's the rock, everybody. He's the rock. I read an interesting story of a man preacher down in Texas who liked to go bird hunting on the prairie. He had an old Jeep, a couple shotguns, and he had a greyhound dog. He would put the dog in the Jeep and go out on the prairie. And the dog was good at just sniffing out the birds. And they would fly up and he would, you know, shoot a few birds. But on the Texas prairie are these little cottontail rabbits. And so the greyhound, instead of going after birds, would start chasing these little rabbits. But these little rabbits were never far from their hiding place or their burrow. That these little cottontails, they would run zig and zag and dive for cover. And he would call and whistle, and usually the dog would come back, but this time the greyhound did not come back. So he turned the Jeep around, and he heard the whimpering, and he comes and hears his greyhound dog clawing at the roots of this cactus. There's cactus needles in the dog's nose, you know, and he pulls the dog back, and he looks down there, and here's this little cottontail rabbit shaking and shivering, but it was safe. But on the same prairie is the Texas jackrabbit. Now, the jackrabbit looks like it's a head, and then a little bit of a body, but it's three-fourths hip, thigh, and leg, okay? But when he sees the jackrabbit has so much pride, it doesn't run for cover, it doesn't zig, it doesn't zag, because the jackrabbit really thinks it can outrun anything. And it can outrun anything except a greyhound, all right? So that jackrabbit just takes off, you know, 3 yards at a time, 9 feet, 9 feet, 9 feet. Here comes the greyhound, 8.5 feet, 8.5 feet, 8.5 feet. After just a few minutes, the jackrabbit is exhausted. He settles on his haunches, and the greyhound is a half a stride behind, puts the jaws in the neck of the jackrabbit, scratch one jackrabbit. Now, folks, every time I'm in church, there's people out there with the jackrabbit spirit, you know? No, I don't need God. I don't need a pastor. I don't need the Bible. I don't need the church. I mean, I've got money. There are folks, life is not fair. There are, you know, some money is not the answer sometimes. Yeah, but I've got rich parents, and they're not the answer. But I got my college degree, and that won't help you. I mean, you have your BA, your BS, and your BLT. Come on, you know? I mean, you got all these degrees, but I got friends. Yeah, but I'm good looking. Yeah, folks, there are some things happen in life that nothing can help you. But the Lord God Jehovah. And his name is Jesus. And his name is Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Years ago, we used to sing the old song, in times like these, you need a shelter. In times like these, you need an anchor. And folks, I want you to know, folks, it's hard for me to even listen to the news or watch the news or hear the voice of certain people. Folks, do you know why? Because we're living in a day where men's hearts are failing them for fear. It's one of the signs of the last days. There's no hope when suicide among young people is higher than it's ever been. And I'm here to tell everyone in this building, everyone that's a brand new convert or going to be a brand new convert, I've said it here before, you soon discover that you still got flat tires and mosquito bites after you get the Holy Ghost. You're not always jumping over three pews talking in other tongues. We're not exempt from unemployment, from cancer, from sickness, from setbacks. I mean, we are not. But when the world has a problem, they will go out and get drunk one more time and get plastered. But when the hangover is over, the storm hits them again. They might get high on drugs. But when they come back down, folks, all the pressures and problems are still there. But what does the child of God do when the storm comes? Amen. And the winds are blowing and there's pressures. We don't get drunk. Amen. We don't take drugs. We don't put a gun to our head. But we run to the rock, Christ Jesus, one more time and say, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Hallelujah. And you know what's so wonderful about coming to this altar today? You just don't get a piece of the rock. You get the whole rock. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the storms blow and the rain comes, hallelujah, there's shelter. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. So you might be sitting out there today nice and calm on the outside, but inside there's winds and the waves. Amen. Even when Jesus looked at the wind and said, "Peace, be still." What manner of man is this that even the wind and the wave obey his voice? He can do that in your own individual life. Amen. If your marriage is on the rocks today, every husband, both husband and wife, need to come to this altar and get your marriage off the rocks and put it on the rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. If you're thirsty and nothing satisfies you, water still comes from the rock. And his name is Jesus. So yeah, Lord, amen. There's a man who's a hiding place from the wind, and a man who's a covert from the tempest, and the man who's the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, the man who is still the hiding place. Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, you can lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Let's stand right now. Let's raise our hands and just worship our rock for a moment today. And we're going to come to this altar in just a minute. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. That's why we must open up an altar, everybody. Number one, because Jesus said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." It's spiritually incorrect to worship, take offerings, preach the word of God, and then not pray. But we must open up an altar today because individuals need Jesus Christ. They need a hiding place and they need a shelter. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, maybe you've been to this altar before, but this is a good time to come again. Amen. Jesus said everyone's going to come into contact with the rock. Jesus said you can either fall on the rock and be broken, or else the rock is going to fall on you and grind you into powder. Amen. But I'll tell you, the best place you can be today is right at this altar. Amen. And it's not fancy prayers. It's not good sentence structure. It's not good grammar. Oh, Jesus. Because whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank the Lord for some that have already come. Amen. But what song are you guys singing? Okay, go ahead. I don't know what. Okay. All right. There's so many songs anymore. But I like songs that have the name of Jesus in it. For church, come on, your hiding place is right here. Amen. If there's a visitor here when this church gathers around this altar, why don't you come? Amen. And let it be more than a scripture in the Bible, but it's your own personal experience in Jesus' name. Let's sing it, shall we?
Danger, nothing stays the same. Heaven is home. Mention of the name, spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim.
In Jesus' name.
Raise it up, fill the sky.
That's right.
Chains will fall.
He knows what you're facing.
We lift him high.
He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Nobody loves you like Jesus. I want your spirit, Lord. I want your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, my heart is overwhelmed. Jesus, I'm in a horrible pit. Jesus, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus.
As our lips make the sound.
Hallelujah.
Raise it up. Fill the sky. Oh,
have your way, Lord. Touch every one of these individuals. Touch every heart, God. In the name of Jesus.
The name above all other names. Speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of heaven's coming down. Fill the earth with the sound of the name. Name.
Spirit of worship. I want to just encourage you to continue to worship and pray. Thank you so very much, Brother Mackey. If you were not in the first session this morning, you spoke about roots, developing roots. And I just want to encourage you. We're in a series on building a stronger spiritual you, a stronger spiritual life. And the key to all of this is literally allowing the roots, your roots. What are the roots? The roots is the spiritual knowledge that God imparts into you, and it comes in various ways, reading the scripture, maybe a conversation with a brother, a sister, an elder, a minister. But it's those principles that we need to live by and allowing those to flow through our lives. Remember, we can't be a swamp. We need to be a river. So we let those principles that we've learned this weekend flow through our lives, flow into us and flow out of us. So thank you so very much, Brother and Sister Mackey. It's just an honor to have you here. Congratulations on your new bride. I admire a couple at this age of just stepping out and saying, you know what? It's kind of starting all over, but it's an adventure. God bless you and your marriage, your wife. And we're so excited to have you here. And thank you so very much for ministering to us. God bless you. We have VOSIS will be starting their practice in here in about 15 minutes, so be aware of that. And you feel free to fellowship. And when they come into practice, just lower your tone a little bit. God bless you. Have a very blessed week. And we will see you Wednesday evening. Remember, we have missionaries on Wednesday evening, Lady Shopping Day on Saturday. And God bless you. Have a very blessed week.